All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. You are tuned into your favorite talk radio station, that is Eagle FM, and we are coming to you live from our Ventuk studio to do one of our new shows, one of our new favorite shows, joined by Mr. Neshila himself, that is to do the show Ulwazi, where we discuss all things land and property development. Mr. Neshila, how are you doing today?
Good morning, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. I'm doing excellent, and welcome to the show. Thanks again for your time, as per usual, and to be sharing the great knowledge that you have been sharing with us the past week or so. And in a few moments, we'll be live as well on Facebook, on X, on YouTube. So if you're not tuned in via your radio, you can find us on all your favorite social media platforms, as well as the Eagle FM mobile application, of course, and the Eagle FM website. And if you missed last week's program, that was our discussion on Walvis Bay, that was our discussions on Oshakati, you can simply go to the Eagle FM website, that's www.eaglefm.com.na, or download the Eagle FM mobile application and go to the podcast section, and you'll be able to listen to these shows in full at your own time, at your own pace. But today on the show, we're going to be discussing the town of Ondangwa, that is in the central and northern region. So maybe before we dive into the hard data like we usually do, maybe you can give us a brief historical journey on the town of Ondangwa.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. And just to say congratulations to our South African neighbors for qualifying in the World Cup. I think that is something very much achievable that they have done. Cabo Verde as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now just to look into the historical perspective of Ondangwa. So basically we are going back to 1890. Ondangwa was basically founded very much by the Finnish, as an establishment, basically or for religious purposes, of which the Ondangwa traditional authority allowed them to settle there before they further advanced, northeast to build a predominant hub of, which we all know of, Oshirambo. And trying to understand the historical perspective, it then comes to mind that in terms of how I'm looking at Ondangwa, in terms of how they are looking at their development, they got some very strong historical aspects which they are not enhancing in their day-to-day development.
Such as?
So basically when you look at post-independence, we all know that Ondangwa was an employment hub.
Okay.
Basically, that's where everybody got employed.
Mm-hmm.
In Oshivambo, Anukwajalo, Kahol, Mondangwa.
Okay.
So, and that is where Namdeb had massive recruitments from people from the north, and there was a Namdeb office as well. And those are the aspects that Ondangwa really needs to start capturing and to start telling the story,
mm-hmm.
and to take back their historical presence of an employment hub. Now, saying so, I then managed for the past whole week, I was then looking in on the Airbnb listing in Ondangwa.
Yeah.
There's hardly anything.
Yeah. Really?
Yes, and that's quite very shocking, because your Airbnb is poorly presented in Ondangwa. Now,
and we were just talking about how Oshakati, that sector is booming.
Yes.
So, what, 30 minutes away, it's a different picture.
Yeah. Now, but when you look at what Ondangwa mostly attract, they attract trade. Their informal trading is attracting a lot of Angolan traders to come and trade in Ondangwa. They mostly trade in Ondangwa because Oshakati has a dominant presence of locals that are trading, and, you know, aided by the Oshipwatapwata equally so.
Okay.
So, now, what is important is for Ondangwa then to say, look, this is what we are attracting in our informal trading sector. A lot of Angolans come in to come trade for food. So it then becomes present itself of an opportunity to become a food hub, especially on traditional food and products. So they need to start looking at it.
So when you say looking at it, are we talking about building like market facilities for them, or what exactly does looking at it entail?
Yeah, they need to look at it as a typical a golden goose.
Okay.
Yeah, so that they are able to maximize that those trading opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can look at it from a health perspective to organize their informal trading much better, to basically to integrate their informal trading within the urban setup. Like when you look at Oshakati, the informal traders are occupying the center, the heartbeat
mm-hmm.
of Oshakati, and nowhere else in any town you find that, because most of the informal trading is always hidden away in a different place, and that is very important to look at what Oshakati is doing in terms of development, and they need to open up.
We
need to take the boundary walls away from those informal traders, have a bit of transparency. Trade is more, it's about movement of goods and people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a very key part. And the last aspect that I want to touch on is the tourism.
Okay.
Yeah, the Ondangwa needs to build on their tourism structure. Currently now, it's very, very much flat. Yeah? You hardly hear of any conferences actually even happening on Ondangwa. It's always either on Ongwediva or Oshakati.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? When you talk about fine dining, it's either on Ongwediva or Oshakati.
Yeah.
Now, Ondangwa is getting a private hospital through IUM. And mm-hmm. that is a very key development. That means that very young professionals are now going to come to the and a lot of students are also coming because it's a training hospital.
Yeah.
So that brings a new dynamics and a new development. Now, when you have that high level of professionals, obviously they want to do that. They want to dine. And what you don't want is your professionals coming, living from in Ongwediva and coming to work in Ondangwa. You want to make sure that you close off that ecosystem.
So with now saying that, platforms like Airbnb are essentially non-existent in Ondangwa. If that hospital were to be built and functional, let's say at the end of next year, and there's still no Airbnb, not anything on the rental market, which I'm sure we'll get into in just a moment, will we then have a situation where the workers of said hospital will be living outside of Ondangwa and just commuting?
Yes,
to Ondangwa.
I won't be surprised if that is already happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because Ongwediva prides itself that it is providing a high level employment sector. So, and I think that narrative on Ondangwa need really to focus so that they can change that narrative.
Mm-hmm.
We need to trap every dollar in every town so that we can create a vibrant. Because that was the hub. You know, people used to walk from all the way from Omongwa. My father is from Omongwa, by the way. Yeah? My father is Angolian born.
Okay.
And he used to come when he first got his first job, it was in Ondangwa.
Mm-hmm.
So he walked almost close to 80 kilometers just to come get a job in Ondangwa. In Ondangwa.
Yeah.
So it just shows you the significance in terms of what Ondangwa is, one of the towns that is having presence in, and especially in Angola, in terms of employment. It's a very, very prominent town.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those aspects is what they need to revisit and to ring fence those idea, those historical emblems, and try to build a very strong tourism structure. But I mean, as I said, the show is all about data. You just go to the Airbnb, you put in Ondangwa, and you look at the listing and then make up your own opinion around it.
Yeah.
So we basically just focusing on what the facts are.
So before now we dive into the actual hard data itself, I want to ask, what do you think are the contributing factors to, we have Ondangwa on one side, we have Oshakati on the other side. From what I'm hearing now, you're saying Ondangwa basically started at the top in terms of now being a employment hub, in terms of being an economic, you know, thriving environment, and is on the decline, whereas Oshakati is doing the opposite. What do you think are the factors that contribute to that dynamic? Because I mean, it's not like they're 500 kilometers apart. They're right. The two towns are basically next to each other. So how is it possible that you have such contrasting dynamics?
Yeah, you see the it's a very interesting aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Oshakati was always driven by the locals, yeah, its local presence.
Mm-hmm.
While Ondangwa, as people that are coming, it's like it's accommodating foreigner. So in a way, Ondangwa was operating like a typical harbor town.
Okay.
Because that is where all the settlers are streaming to, Especially from your central Angola, northwest, northeast, everyone basically come get. Even the people from Oshakati, before they go work at Oranjemund, they were recruited in Ondangwa.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the historical. It's a mixture of, and you will see, because of that character, the fabric, the people's fabric in Ondangwa, there's a lot of intermarriage, marriages, from other tribes. The Ondanga people, basically, they are number one in that space. And those are the key issues that, the leadership needs to look for it and said, okay, guys, let's rebuild our town. Let's give it that diamond spark it once had. So it means that it's an industrial area. It's what you call a typical cosmopolitan back in the days, but just on a small scale. But I think we can bring that back. They just need to reinvent themselves. And I think, they should be able to, they don't need to compete with Oshakati. They have their own unique essence already.
Yeah. Now, hopefully on future episodes, we will have, representatives from the town council and the local authorities on there to further discuss this point that you bring up.
Now, surely we will invite all the towns and to come, make sure that they also give their side of the development, just not from the perspective of data and from Eagle FM,
exactly.
But we want to bring them into studio and to make sure that they provide the listeners with the right mindset in terms of development.
100%. So let's now start diving into this data that we've been referencing throughout the show. Which aspect of Ondangwa do you want to begin with?
Yeah, basically we want to quickly look at the land delivery very quickly, just to understand what is the land delivery in Ondangwa.
Okay.
Basically, from the data we are looking, 2017 was basically the golden goose of development.
Mm-hmm.
They really did very well in 2017. But when you look at since 1999, they were running extremely flat. Coming upwards up to 2026, then we start seeing some significant growth. A bit of a very big decline from 2017 to 2020, and basically remained slightly consistent with a very poor performance in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
So that is basically the land delivery, and that is purely the land delivery perspective. But when you look at on a national perspective, in terms of proclaimed townships at the time when they were performing, they did quite well. They are ranked number one with 16 townships at the time.
Yeah.
So there is some good positive in that space. But what Ondangwa have basically done ever since, they really start working on their staff complement, especially in the development staff hiring. There's some young people coming in, a very, very young lady that is also running that development.
Mm-hmm.
But there is positive sign. But at the moment, they are currently in hibernation. They are simply just putting planning together so that they can have that momentum. Now, when you look at the development index.
Yeah.
So the development index, is the first time that it's on radio that you heard about the development index. And we want to define what the development index is all about.
Exactly.
Now, the development index basically is the number of applications, especially for rezoning, subdivisions, township establishments, and zoning scheme amendments and approval.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at those numbers.
Before you get into the numbers, who developed the index?
The index, basically what we do is that the Olwazi algorithm extract this index from the government gazette and over a number period of years, and to be able to assess what are the development applications that has been happening over a number period. So like in the case of Ondangwa, we are looking at the development index of 2022 up to 2026,
mm-hmm.
of which basically thus far it's not looking so. Currently now for 2026, we are already sitting, close to three rezonings, subdivisions two. And at the township establishment, nothing has been recorded, and some amendment to the zoning scheme is three.
Mm-hmm.
Then you basically, as you then comes down, it shows, I mean, the year is still not finished, so there's still potential for growth. But their best performing year was 2023 in terms of development. So it just shows you now this development that has been done in 2023, it's going to start reflecting 2027, 2028.
Okay.
Because the local authorities needs to raise some capital servicing and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But they are moving, It can surely show you that there is progressive planning around it. But they still need to do more and to attract more applicants to, they need to create an appetite for development.
Yeah.
Despite that, their key focus is very much on single residential. The industrial plots have been underperforming for some time. But as I said, it creates an opportunity. Once we unpack the tourism and the food industry, the food industry actually is where Ondangwa can really make a change.
Okay.
Yeah, so they do have that infrastructure. There's another opportunity on the transportation side, but not the long-haul buses, but they are the strongest market in terms of small mini buses. While Oshakati is basically taking all your big buses because as I said previously, there's a lot of demand in that space.
Mm-hmm.
So for the small mini buses on for long distance, I think that's the space for Ondangwa. So your informal trading, very important, needs to talk to your transportation infrastructure.
Okay.
We need to find that integration so that we can drive the growth and unpack and create more jobs in that space.
100%.
Yeah. So and that is basically and what we in terms of what we're looking into the development index, basically single residential business and institutional. That is what is predominantly dominating that space. Now, what we also added in the data, we started looking at the last 24 months just to get an idea as to where things are moving to.
Mm-hmm.
Slightly on the downside, we're looking at eight rezoning, some amendments on the zoning scheme, four subdivisions and two township establishments. So that is basically slightly on the downside. But as I said, the data is now here. People can look at the data and make an informed decision as to how and where they need to focus. So basically, they don't have to look at an empty canvas and mm-hmm. then the strongest opinion drives the development. But an opinion that is supported by data. I think that is the most important aspect. Now.
Yes.
Now we come to the critical data. this is where things, And you know, when you run a town, you need to look at what your neighbors are doing.
Okay.
Yeah, that's very important. You look at your strong neighbors mm-hmm. and you see what are they doing right and what can we learn from there. That's the beauty of development. You know, that's why I said if you don't travel, you don't have exposure.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to look at what the others are doing.
Yeah.
Now, since 2017 and up to 2026, our transaction volumes for Ondangwa is 1,903.
1,903.
Now we need to compare numbers.
I was in my mind. I was just thinking, Oshakati has had more than those in a single year, and that's a 10-year span.
Yeah, this is So Oshakati is actually they recorded the 1 year. I think they recorded close to 2,000.
Yeah,
I can't remember specifically which year was it.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, people should not feel bad that we are comparing on Ondangwa, but we just want to make sure that people understand where it stands.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at the transaction volume in terms of monetary aspect, say Oshakati is sitting at
2.8 billion.
Yes, 2.8 billion
mm-hmm.
over 7,000 transactions.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, with Ondangwa, they are sitting at 1,903 with a 1.1 billion transaction value over a period of 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you do the numbers, yeah, for every 2,000, you record a billion. So should Ondangwa push 7,000 transactions?
Yes.
So they should be in a similar range with Oshakati. They are neck to neck.
Okay.
And that is how you need to look at the data. Yeah. So that is how, that is the beauty of data. You do a very strong comparison so that you are able to understand as to where you, as to where you are standing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I said previously, Oshakati, the average pricing was sitting at 453,000.
Yes.
While the average price in Ondangwa is sitting at 583,000.
Mm.
Now, that is their benchmark.
Yeah.
So you need to be able to say to the developers, this is what we want you to produce.
Mm-hmm.
What can you do with this amount? Can you make it work? And that is now where basically, now when you look at the 483,000, when you look at the government subsidy, which is slightly a bit shy for the low entry that is sitting at close to 500,000.
Yes.
So it's not far fetched. People will be able to top up that money and to be able to own a property.
Mm-hmm.
So you could easily walk away with, maybe plus transfer cost and all associated administrative aspect. Probably we are looking at a 620.
Okay.
Yeah? So we are looking at a 620. And that is very, very key. And I think that is where the developers needs then to come in. If this is the average, so how do I have this figure? How do I get, how can I produce? Yeah. To that. And that is the, where the innovation start. That mm-hmm. means that you're going to hit the market and your sales are going to go up. So, and that is what also needs to, and that is basically what government needs to start looking at. So that when they do funding, guided to say, okay, if we give a billion to Ondangwa, mm-hmm. so we will be able to get X. So you have that benchmark and then basically they can then work with it. We then spoke about the subsidized housing aspects,
mm-hmm.
which what we call the subsidized share. In Wolfish Bay, I think we were sitting at 1.5.
Yes.
Because there's a very strong, a high employment market. There's a lot of private development of whereby development in the north is more driven by council's initiative. You know, they're putting in the preparation of work, the funds and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So now this subsidized shares, we are looking at 15.6%. Now this 15.6%, for all my learned friends, I always say that it's very important. We need to have this conversation and you can come closer into the discussion, that it's market value. That is where I say market value, less 15.6%.
Okay.
So which means that if you are going to buy a property of 1 million in Ondangwa and you understand the data that is provided to you through Eagle FM under the Uluwazi program,
mm-hmm.
then you should be able to question, the seller to say, but hey, there's this aspect. How do you understand it? Can we negotiate on that space?
Mm-hmm.
So, and those are the, it's purely a safe bracket to negotiate, you know, market value. And I always say that now it's important when you look at your IMF report since 2015, what have they been reporting on our deviation factor? That's very important. The IMF and all those guys, they're having it at 20%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is basically the highest you can go. But now the question is, where do you deploy that 20%? And that is where now the Uluwazi and Eagle FM comes in to provide you with the right data for you to be able to understand. So while the medium F prices in, the F size is running at 446 square meters.
Mm-hmm.
So that is basically your biggest land parcel that needs to be for you to be able to be in line with your average median price.
446, you said?
Yeah, 446 square meters.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the key things that you need to understand. So if anyone comes with a township establishment to you and they're saying that, no, let's make it 600 square meters. So basically you are going to sell very low. Your selling rate is going to be very, very extremely slow. And that is the most important aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you have the medium average price, you have the F size. So basically per square meter, you are looking at $414 per square meter.
Okay.
So that is the estimated price based on Uluwazi's analysis.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have if you can justify your value, you are more than welcome to do so. But that's basically an indicator to say, look, I need to negotiate on this basis, and you start putting your budget together for you to be able to purchase your property, or if you are a developer, to invest in such a space. I know there's quite a very prominent chap that is a developer in Ondangwa, which I also want to have a conversation one day.
Okay.
So that we understand, we put the matrix to practice.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that we can compare notes to what the data is saying and what is the actual development cost on the ground. Yeah, so, and that is basically, and when you look into the open market sales is running at 1,446, median price 447, and then basically, and then you must remember you have your average and you have your median.
Yeah.
Your median, then this then becomes your bank's, your bank, calculations and all that. So that stands at around about 612 per square meters. And then basically then works out on a slightly lesser average with probably like a 20 square meters. So we are on the average earth size, we are at 446,
mm-hmm.
while on the median, we are sitting at 443.
Okay.
So these are the conversations now you need to start looking into, mm-hmm. and to be able to make an informed opinion as to where things are heading to.
So I want to get into, The 1,000 transactions over the course of 9-10 years, what were the peak years during that time?
Our peak year was, let me just see what is the, just not just to, I think our peak year was around about, our peak year was, should be around about 2017.
Okay.
That is where our peak is sitting. And then, and in terms of, suburb analysis,
mm-hmm.
where the most, transactions have been recorded, let me just get the correct data here. Yeah, Okay. Yeah, it is 2017. I just wanted to make sure on that. Then, when we just quickly also want to touch on the growth forecast.
Yes.
In terms of the sale going forward, 2026, 2028, the indicators, they show that there is a decline. So there's a significant decline slightly, because we are looking at maybe 3 to 4 notches towards the decline. And I think this is the data which the town council leadership needs to start looking into. Just want to get to the actual suburb analysis to give a better overview into that in that space. So now the one of the biggest problem on the data space that we have then picked up is that Ondangwa basically the data registers per extension. Yeah, so.
Per extension?
Yeah, they would then make reference what the digital aspects is picking up. Mm-hmm. It will then say Ondangwa extension 11. Yeah. So that is that, and that basically then not specifically, I know there are suburbs in Ondangwa, but if you can, on top of your head, if I would ask you, what are the prominent suburbs in Ondangwa? It's more reference to no on the airport side than rather the actual aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the, like, for instance, you know, Ondangwa extension 20, we are looking at 14 transaction. Ondangwa extension 16.
This is for 20. For the 9 years or for a specific
basically
year?
As I said, we are dealing now with the 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're dealing with purely 10 mm-hmm. years, and then obviously now we then looking into extension 24 as well, extension 13. There are some good numbers that are coming through there, and obviously the area which they call Ondangwa, basically the open market. The open market transactions,
mm-hmm.
which hovering just slightly above 250 transactions, and basically
Before you get into that, we have a caller on the line. Eagle FM, good morning.
Good morning, sir, and the guest. How are you?
We're doing well, thank you. How are you?
Well, I didn't get his name very well.
He can.
Yes, it's Neshila.
Oh, Mr. Neshila.
Yes.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Neshila. How are you?
No, good morning, sir. How are you?
Is it the same Neshila that we were having an interaction last week?
Yes,
about some of the policies and regulations?
Yes, yes.
Well, now, okay. So that time was, Mr. Neshila, may we also request you to come formally to come and give us this one in Oshuambo, in all this vernacular language?
Yeah, yes, yes.
So that people are saying that if you do not know development, some of these concepts and terms, that they, you know, they look very ambiguous and all this kind of thing.
Yes.
So we might not be able to translate the information that you are giving us, and they are still giving them to us, especially when it comes to property development.
Yes.
So property development is very important. Like he said, Ondangwa historically, from that historical perspective, the Ondangwa is supposed to be a town that is so shining, you know, growing, giving more than any other town around here. So I'm not so sure whether because of the infrastructure that are so squeezed, and whether there is really serious kind of policies so when it comes to compensation. Because for you to remove to move away the people who are also somehow not really hindering the business to go, I'm just saying that at least the informal kind of business that is so booming in Ondangwa. And then you make sure that you give them the fair compensation, you understand? And then in terms of resettlement, because many a town, when you look at this, the houses, the homes are fine. So, but is there also, the other thing that I want to say maybe in conclusion is also, you see that those areas are more conducive to attract investors. So the people themselves, the business, the investors, is it not perhaps for us to really, not to sell, to popularize some of those economic opportunity, and then mobilize for resources, go to the government, where the subsidy need to be strengthened, especially when it comes to incentive for people who want to develop. But you have said already that Korata security may not be a problem. I think that's what you said here when we were here last week. So people can still negotiate and see their way to have their infrastructure really secured. Because most of the banks, I don't know how they reform some of these commercial banks really. Because for us, you may have money, you may put some Korata security there, but you still experience some hindrance. So thank you very much, Mr. Neshila, for helping us in that one. But more towns, especially on Ondangwa, I heard the soccer stadium is moving very well. I don't know what phase they are now. I think it's the second phase. I don't know. So we are hoping to see on Ondangwa.
Ah, okay.
My father. You are ready to see them, but every time when you don't even know better, sometimes you say, this day, when you now receive a letter through your people, this day I will be in Ondangwa.
Yes, and those are the things that we really need to start bringing back. And these are the conversations, and some of our elders are still around, and we need to create this platform for them, and so that they need to show us and the makeshift areas where they used to overnight and where they used to cook, and these are the things we need to. Once you understand your history, and you start planning around your history, so you have a very rich discussions, and then obviously you for the potential. What I see that Ondangwa is a very rich tourism opportunity that we need to just activate. And it will take a collective and the entrepreneurs within the Ondangwa district to be able to unpack the situations. And I think Ondangwa needs to move beyond its boundary, you know, to talk to the villages in the surrounding areas in terms of how they can equally participate in the town, because everybody can buy their food in Ondangwa is basically its urban center. It's a big market with different stores and all that. And I fully agree with you. We really just started the show and we're putting plans together to also travel, into the different towns. We are more than happy to come in the Oshivambo slot. I'll talk to my other colleagues that are hosting those shows and we can come in and see how we can unpack, this development. But it also got to do that the reason we are doing it in English is that we want to diversify and to make sure that basically through our discussions, people will then be willing to go and invest in those towns, the opportunities that we and providing the data for them to make informed decisions to invest.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. But we have got, there are so many resourceful people who are around, especially those who used to transport people like those who were having those car dossiers. And we can ask you, so we can link them to you and see how we can forge this corrective action. This is very important. I'm happy to hear that one. That means many a times we should be interacting so that to see where we can really do much. Thank you very much. I'll get linked to you people. Then I'm very, very happy if we can really, because researchers and all these coming ones, they can really do a lot of things. So they just need to be organized, those students, and do some research and then get some funding, because the funding is over.
Yes, 100%.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. God bless you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
Yes, if you'd like to call in as well, the number in this year is 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. All right, we can conclude with the data that you were discussing before the caller came through.
Okay. Yeah. So basically what we were making reference to was more to the aspects of how the different suburbs are performing.
Right.
And also equally what are the median prices and where the affordability brackets are. And I think for me that is the most critical aspect that, you know, at times when we do developments currently now, especially the professional town planners and mm-hmm, so forth, mm-hmm. when we do the planning, it's purely, we just think that, okay, no, 600 square meters, we then define it as a typical middle class.
Mm-hmm.
But as time goes on, your 600 square meters is just no longer a middle class. It's basically, you start densifying and it could be easily sitting at 400. So, and I think, and that's what the key aspect why,
yeah, we'll just wrap up on the other side of this commercial break.
All right. Thank you.
Join us for the Ehangano Concert Volume 2 with Ali Tobias. Experience an unforgettable evening featuring songs from her latest album, A Bilo, performed live with a full band. Special guest appearances by Tate Buti, DA, Paige, and One Accord. All proceeds from the event will go towards supporting the Our Lady Orphanage. The event takes place on 4 July 2026 at the National Theater of Namibia. Tickets are available on Web Tickets Namibia for 450 Namibian dollars. Don't miss this powerful night of music, inspiration, and giving back. Ehangano Concert Volume 2. See you there.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Ulwazi. Before the commercial break, we were discussing the suburban growth of Ondangwa in this 10-year period. You may proceed, Mr. Nishila.
Yeah. So basically, I think as we are heading towards the conclusion of the show, and mm-hmm. I think my emphasis here is to, and what is the significance of this data is purely then to say, for instance, the building suppliers, your Pupkewitz, your Build It and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the people that we also want to invite into the room. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for them to be able to understand what is the catchment volume on a yearly basis.
Mm-hmm.
What are we looking at? So when you look at the total number, when you say on average your transaction volume is purely 100 million in terms of the market value. So that obviously translate a certain percentage translate into building material and all the other associated costs around it to get to the final product,
mm-hmm.
whether it's service land or whether it's the top structure. Now, obviously, so, and then they can basically now tailor-made their pricing around what the data is dictating. That is very important. Then it cascades down to the developers,
mm-hmm.
and so forth, and equally so to the town council. So it's very important that once you understand suburb analysis, you then basically understand what is the real needs in those areas. Now, those suburbs that are really recording very, very shallow numbers,
mm-hmm.
over a period of 10 years, it's perhaps the suburbs which the local authority needs to start looking into, say, okay, but what is the problem in this space?
Yeah.
Is it a poverty aspect? Is it an affordability aspect? Or there's just no development space? How can we, attract development to this area? So those are the kind of conversations that the leadership, the community needs to have. And if anybody is going to a community meeting and you have this data report,
yeah.
and it's basically to pose a question and say, sir, what is the meaning of this data? How does it? And you know, poor transaction volumes also then your crime starts to rise, mm-hmm. and all those things, of which obviously, as the show progresses, we'll also bring you the impact of crime on the transaction volumes and on development. So all those aspects, people just need to ask the right questions, and the leadership will obviously start looking into those questions.
So, speaking of the right questions, what is the best performing suburb in this 10-year period in Ondangwa?
The best performing suburb, that's a very good question. Best performing, I need to quickly check this. Yeah, while I'm busy, trying to get the best performing suburb.
Mm-hmm.
Just quickly.
Okay. While you find the best performing suburb, another question I had was about, we referenced, improving the tourism aspect of Ondangwa.
Yes.
I'm just in the back of my mind, I'm thinking when we say improving the tourist aspect, are we talking about, creating tourist attractions, or are we talking about upgrading maybe some of the unknown, I guess you could say, landmarks or, areas of Ondangwa that people might not have known of? Or exactly what do we mean when we say improve the tourism aspect of Ondangwa? Like, are we talking about building a water park? What are we talking about when we say let's improve the tourism of Ondangwa?
For me, in that space of improving the tourism of Ondangwa, it's my reference really, I think we need to look at our historical development patterns.
Okay.
What really brought us where we are. And I think for me, that is the most important element. And then you use that historical aspect and then you then say, okay, this is our historical perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, and for you, if you understand your history, you will then understand where you went wrong or where you deviated or what you have neglected.
Mm-hmm.
And that is for me, the key aspect in terms of to unlock the tourism. Now, when you look at, for instance, when you look at the tourism catchment, most of the tourists mostly always drive through towards Oshakati and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to create strong presence. So when they come from Etosha, they basically then have a stop by in Ondangwa.
Oh, okay.
And that's the catchment. So you shouldn't allow just people to pass through your town without just allow them to rest for a day or two, just to boost the numbers.
Exactly.
Yeah, coming back basically to the performances of basically it's the what you call is the Ondangwa, the key prison, which is basically recorded 1,646.
The Ondangwa what, sorry?
The Ondangwa, you see, and this is where the data is presenting it. You see, now previously the registries of when the transactions are recorded in Ondangwa is recorded per extension.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's recorded per extension, so not necessarily the area in terms of locality.
Okay.
So how you record your data is also very key.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at, maybe to take another example, when you come to Windhoek, for instance, when you in the valuation, when you do a valuation report, you'll see that, the data mostly reads the Windhoek block.
Okay.
Now, Windhoek block means Windhoek West, Windhoek, Ludwigsdorp, and Klein Windhoek. That entire block falls under one aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you start using comparables, you can basically use comparables from somewhere else because it gives you because of the of how the data is recorded in the deeds office.
Mm-hmm.
So and that's basically now where some of this aspect and this is the conversations that we need to have. And myself also, I just found out when I'm doing this data analytics that this is how the system is picking up these things. And obviously you look at the title deed and see why it has picked up those aspects.
Okay.
Yeah. So on the second, we have extension 25, which is at 60, extension 26, 38. And it's basically then go down up to extension 28, which is sitting at 17 transaction.
Mm-hmm.
So as I said, we are looking at the 10-year horizon aspect in this space. And as I said, these are the conversations we can still take it further as to why the data is recording as such. Sometimes mm-hmm. when you have data and you digitize it, that's where you learn some data is dirty and you need
exactly.
you need to clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
It will be very difficult to say, how do you clean data? You can have a spreadsheet and you think that it's the data is recorded correctly. Yes, it can read, but if you digitize it, it's a different ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
So that is where now your data analyst then comes in, because we have an in-house data analyst, and mm-hmm. then they look at all this data to clean it up, to make sure that it's recording as it's supposed to. So and that is basically where we are. But as I said, all in all, the trajectory thinking of Ondangwa is in a good space.
Mm-hmm.
All they need to focus is just let it be data driven, rather than basically a strong opinion to say we need to put this here. Let our historical pattern guide us. Let's understand how people arrive
mm-hmm.
into the urban node of Ondangwa.
Mm-hmm.
Can we reactivate that corridor? In what form can we reactivate the corridor? How can we do selective precincts
mm-hmm.
In terms of what needs to function where? And then when you also look at, there's an appetite now in the commercial corporate space. We saw that GIPF established their head office there. We saw that NORAD is also in the same prison. So what Ondangwa can do now, the next thing is we need to bring social security also into Ondangwa if they are no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure also they do their regional, because there's a note that is starting to define itself. And that is also one of the positive notes, and that Ondangwa could applaud itself. There is something coming, but they just need to move slightly at a faster pace and to ensure that they invite investors into that space. But I think what is needed in the north is definitely a property conference, conference that, you know, all local authorities needs to come together and pack the development and on a pitch deck show. And that is where we're going to see who are the real guys that are doing serious work.
Yeah.
So yeah, we need to.
They need to come on Eagle FM also, because, you know, a big thing we talk about here on Eagle FM is the, you know, these days there's a conference for everything. It seems like happening basically once every week. There's some kind of conference always happening, and people always calling to say, you know, we've heard about XYZ conference, but we don't really see any tangible change come from said conference. So, you know, these these stakeholders, these players of the game need to use platforms like Eagle FM to come and educate the masses, to come and speak to the masses, let us know what is happening, what is coming in the respective towns of Namibia. And as we wrap up here on Ulwazi, you still have time to call in 083-288-401, 083-288-401. I have two final questions for you. The first being, you know, if everything goes as you recommend that it goes, what do you see for the next 10 years of Ondangwa? Because I don't know if I'm correct in this thinking, but you know, the numbers that you provided today are relatively low, especially considering what we heard from Oshakati. So in the next 10 years, if everything goes to plan, do you foresee those numbers increasing for the town of Ondangwa? And my second question is, do we have the data in regards to the categories of these transactions, whether it's service land, whether it's retail, whether it's residential? Can we get into that data as well?
Okay. All right. I just want to add in terms of the clarity aspects on the subsidize. So when we're talking about subsidize, it's basically council that is assisting the lower bracket in terms of giving them land through NGO programs and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
The 15% that we are talking about, it's hovering around about 305 land parcels.
Okay. Yeah,
that has been subsidized. Mm-hmm. Now, you know that the market reads numbers. The market doesn't read that three people are poor and all that. So yes, it basically gives you numbers, and the numbers is what we are using. But it's also important that we need to understand what is that subsidized bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that when we look into those numbers. Now, looking at the 10-year horizon, the 10-year horizon is going to be a very, very competitive 10-year horizon. You must now remember, we are now moving in an era where it's very defined by artificial intelligence. So that means that now your traditional job market is going to change.
Okay. Yeah?
So you're not going to have your consistent employment, that new middle class that is going to arise. And I think it was also very clear to, I think it's the Minister of Justice,
mm-hmm,
that when Social Security automated, 65 people had to be retrained to be reabsorbed into the, well, that is a public entity. In the private sector, it's cost. Yeah. It's very much cost driven.
Mm-hmm.
So we will see that employment is going to slow down through artificial intelligence. Employment is going to slow down. A lot of local authorities need to start rethinking. Now, the first guys that are going to adopt artificial intelligence in their operation system, so they will have more money to develop and to make sure that they boost development, because now you are dropping your operation cost. You say you're dropping it with 20 or 30%. And mm-hmm, that will be the key question, where the local, the political leadership will then start asking the manager to say, how do you bring your operation cost down?
Mm-hmm.
And then the solution is into artificial intelligence. So meaning that obviously you can't retrench people, but what you can do, you improve efficiency, but obviously that there won't be any growth in terms of your staff complement.
Yeah.
So those are the aspects. Maybe the other danger that we haven't addressed on the show is that there is, as when you look at how the numbers, what Oshakati them are start pushing and Ondangwa, so they might be looking to say, how do we get to the municipal status?
Okay.
Yeah. So there is that drive. And especially the towns in the north, if they are pushing for municipal status, that means that the cost of living for the residents is going to shoot up.
Mm-hmm.
And the cost of doing business is going to go up. So they need to really make sure that they understand that growth.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't now say now we are currently sitting at 20,000 land parcels, so we need that category. So, and when you look at growth, and when again through our system, Windhoek is pushing at the close of say 60,000 land parcels, so they are hovering in the 65. So we're probably going to expect an 80,000 towards 2030. I think the local authority leadership there is trying to push to those number, and I can only wish them well. While Wolfish Bay, Swakopmund, they are anywhere between, say, from 15,000 to 25,000. That is basically their land parcel power. And when you come to Oshakati and Ongwediva, they should be in the 5,000 towards the 7,000 land parcels.
Yes.
So now you start to understand the aspects of growth, and it has implications as well. Mm-hmm. So the local authority that can balance growth between a very low staff and an efficient staff complement, and a very effective development strategies, they are the ones that are going to be victorious. So especially those three towns close to each other, the competition has long started already.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to, the more they sit in boardrooms and to debate, the action must be on the ground. Action must be on the ground. And everyone needs to find their unique development strategy, and they need to move forward.
100%. And, okay, the final question is, can we get into the data of the categories of the transactions?
The categories of the transactions.
If we have that.
Let me just quickly see what we have here. Because I'm operating on two reports now, and what I can do here is just that we will post it. Basically, the question is basically based on the demography.
Mm-hmm.
The demography is basically who is buying, your age. But we will put it up on our
no
social
problem.
Yeah, and then we can just looking towards that. It's quite a very interesting space to operate in.
And, definitely.
And the data is very clear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the key takeaways for Ndangwa here is your 1.1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, Oshakati 2.8, Wolfish Bay 4 billion. So it's interesting. So we are gearing up towards Windhoek and to see where Swakop, Tsume, Grootfontein, where those towns are sitting.
Irundu. I'm interested in the south actually as well.
Sure. I think maybe next week let's go to the south.
Okay.
Let's go to the south. Let's see what Kitmanswoop is giving us,
mm-hmm.
because that's the heartbeat of the south. And so for us to be able to give them a perspective on their development data as well. Well, maybe I'll also then take the opportunity this time around to say, for Monday, we are looking to the urban land policy,
mm-hmm.
more legislative approach of discussion in mm-hmm. terms of what government is doing. What is the meaning of the urban land policy? I think that is very much one of the key documents that will unlock development in the local authorities.
100%.
So we need to discuss this. We need to unpack the different programs and the different strategies,
mm-hmm.
and to how it's going to transform the land delivery aspect. I think that is I'm really looking forward to that on Monday. And it's quite an exciting space to be able to look at Ndangwa data in terms of what they can do better. And please give us a call, send us your question on your WhatsApp. We will always respond on our social media pages.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and we are good to have those conversations.
100%. Thank you once again for your time and for giving us this crucial knowledge, information and insight on the various towns, on the various policies, on the various developments taking place across Namibia. And you'll be able to tune into Ulwazi once more on Monday on 4 p.m. right here on your favorite talk radio station, whether that's on your traditional stereo, whether that's on our mobile application, whether it's on our website, on all social media pages. We are live. And as he said, you can send us your questions as well. Our WhatsApp number is 081-200-4144. And we will see you again next time.